Hi, welcome back to Homo in Lataning. I'm Jada A.
Hi, I'm Leslie.
And we're a variety show that switches topics every week. And this week, we're here with a little catch up with my girl here because she's feeling her Muslim fantasy and she is living, honey. Ooh. I think it's time we catch up with you.
Yeah.
So do you want to get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Happy Eid Makbar. No, what is it? It's Thank Eid you. Something?
It's Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak.
Yeah. Which is just like a blessed festival, like peace be upon you, blessed.
Yeah.
It's a time of celebrations. And that was just about a few days ago because at the time of this recording, essentially Ramadan is over, the holy month for Muslim. Have you seen the Tiffany Muslim?
Oh, yeah. Muslanity?
Nation of
the Islam. The nation. Yeah.
All jokes aside, is done and over. And it's a very holy month for Muslims. And this Ramadan was particularly devastating because of the continued genocide in Palestine. Mm. And because of a good chunk of Palestinians practicing Islam. And not only are they having to quote-unquote fast during this very holy month, but I mean they're being starved,
so they
have no other option. And you know, during this month of Ramadan, it's usually a month where those who are practicing Muslims really emerge into their faith, more into like prayer more than anything, very kind of like particular about like they're praying and keeping up with their praying and the literature and the scripture, and also they're fasting because essentially it's a time for you to kind of give back.
Yeah. It's like a ritual.
It is a ritual. Yeah. Kind of, not kind of similar, but you know how Christians and Catholics have,
East Lent?
Lent. They have Lent.
Yeah.
And it's also kind of,
around this time.
Yes,
yeah.
It is. Yeah. It's also for a whole month. Persians have something called something totally different, but they also fast. So all types of religions, all types of cultures, depending on your faith, there's a certain ritual, there's a certain pilgrimage or kind of certain commitment that you may do like monthly or yearly. No, sorry, not monthly, but yearly. And Ramadan happens to be one that Muslims do. And I, out of respect for Muslims and the Nation of Islam, but also because
I don't think you need to say Nation of Islam. Oh yeah, I was like, wait. Are you saying it ironically?
I'm saying ironically.
Okay.
But mostly it is a joke. Mostly because I also in an episode where I talked about like Palestinians and kind of being exposed to the faith of being Muslim and the devotion of like scripture and just like how discipline and unwavering your faith is. During that time, I also was working with this individual who was Muslim, and he couldn't fast because of health conditions. Like, if you are Muslim and you reach an age, certain age, everyone fasts unless there's like a medical condition you have, or like you're really elderly and it's like fasting would kind of like mess you up. Or else you kind of owe dues if you don't. Because it's kind of like you have to. Yeah. Everyone has to.
Or children. Children don't either.
Yeah, children don't. I think if you reach the age like 10, 12, it's like now you're like, okay, you're kind of like a teen. Like you can fast.
Yeah.
But yes, children, like toddlers don't fast. And I think pregnant women don't either because it's actually seen as like unholy. Like there's some patriarchy stuff in there. But
it's
a misogyny. But he couldn't fast, but he would pray a lot. And so I took it upon myself to fast that year for him in lieu of that. And I was like, hey, you know, like, why not? Like, you are so, like, devoted to your faith and, like, I can do this for you. And I can also kind of learn about, like, devoting myself to something and also honing in, like, on my form of prayer, my form of journaling. So this was, like, several years ago. So I did participate in the Ramadan fasting for, like, 3 years. But as of last year, I didn't because of how, like, my schedule set up selfishly. And this year, I didn't either. But I decided during that month and even during, like, Lent because I was a raised Catholic, I tried to be kind of, like, really mindful. In general, I try to live my life very mindful where I'm implementing healthy habits, but more so during these kind of quote-unquote important months or, like, significant months. because of a practice or a faith that you have. Mm-hmm. And kind of really hone in on that, on those kind of practices. So this time, because I wasn't going to fast, I decided to kind of really rewire my engagement with social media. Mm. So I decided to essentially not engage in social media throughout the daylight hours, which is usually the times that you're fasting during Ramadan. It was difficult because if this comes out before or after, depending on the episode where I chat about kind of having new responsibilities with a part-time job that I have that requires me to be on social media. And then I also have the podcast where, you know, I'm in charge of kind of like keeping our pages active. So during those times, it was kind of like difficult, but I was able to disengage like pretty quickly. Like I posted when I needed to, and then I would like get off. Mm. And so, you know, for me, it was like really refreshing, and it was really, I don't know, it's like a clean slate because when you spend time not on social media, you kind of have all this time where you realize all the times you go for your phone out of boredom, out of just habit, when there's like no reason for you.
Yeah.
So I would find myself just like staring at my phone like, so what do I do? But it's like, girl, like you have all these other things that you have to do.
Yeah.
And
Mama, I have businesses.
For real. And I applied that to like also watching like any like series, any movies. Like I just wasn't engaging in any media.
Yeah, like switching one vice for another one.
Yeah, no, I just wasn't engaging in any media unless I had to, and I like had a specific responsibility tied to having to access media. So so it was really actually like cool because it set me where I know I need to be in terms of like my engagement with social media. Mm-hmm. And it also kind of rewired me a bit of and made me conscious of all the times I reach for my phone and it's like, for what? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so realizing that it is a habit that you kind of have to break, and that there is a lot of times, and it made me enjoy more kind of tasks that I was doing or enjoy more like just eating by myself, mm-hmm. like eating without like being on my phone or something like
watching
that.
Watching a series or something.
Or watching a series or whatever. It's probably not good for me anyways. So it kind of brought me back to really, really kind of being super mindful going forward, not just post like Ramadan, but also like during Ramadan, that it's like, okay, you actually don't really need to be on social media that much. And also chatting about the fact that I am and have been kind of like really detaching. Like I'm just not keeping up as much. And this was kind of my sentiment like pre like Ramadan, like my friends, or I think even you would ask me like, have you seen that or this? And I'm like, wait,
oh,
who?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Wait, who? Like I still have, like mm-hmm. I have it. And I am not.
You're like, what happened to P. Diddy?
I was like, P. Diddy what? And I'm just like, not even.
Yeah.
And so if I hear about things, it's usually from like you, my sister, or Jackie. Mm-hmm. When she'll be like, oh, I saw this on TikTok. Like, did you know this was happening? I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, no, tell me about it. But also kind of like trying to be a conscious consumer and once again, investing my time in things that I know are helpful for me that can kind of like elevate my skills, my knowledge, the way that I'm approaching situations. I had set out to finish reading a book that I had started that I've been really into. Unfortunately, I did not finish it during the month of Ramadan like I wanted to, but I made like great progress in the book that I was reading. And so I'm happy for that and being able to spend more time reading right now. But yeah, I always enjoy doing something kind of drastic, seeing the benefits, and then challenging myself to keep up with that in that way, and like really trying to cement that as a habit. Because there had been times before where I tried disconnecting from like social media, but I had a sense of like FOMO, like kind of years ago, and now I don't have that feeling mm-hmm. anymore. You know, I kind of don't have the feeling of like I'm missing out on something. I know people are going on trips. I know people are getting married. I know there's engagements. I know people are in Paris and this and that. And people are getting their doctorates. And then they're like buying new Louis Vuittons. I know all these things are happening. I just don't feel an attachment or like I care to them as much as I did before. Like being like, well, why are they there? Type of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm thankful that I've kind of disconnected and detached from that in that sense. And also, as a Leo who thrives off attention, I don't think people also understand that that's an extra layer of challenge for me. Because, like, my astrology and my chart reads that I'm always going to have these conflicting notions of literally, I think, what is my ascending and my sun. And so I think there's this, my Leo feels like I need to keep up with social media. My Leo feels like I need to know about the trends and like I need to know about the fashion and like I need to know about this and that. But my Virgo in me and how I feel doesn't feel that way. But my outer me does, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So my chart always reads that there's always going to be, which, the wolf that we feed.
Oh, yeah.
Which one do you feed?
Yeah.
So, and I've noticed that a lot, that it's like, I am anti-capitalistic, but then I go and listen to Beyonce. Always. Right, like they're clashing.
Yeah, you're anti-capitalistic, but you want to buy the new iPhone. You know, like, yes. Well, not like necessarily but that, but yeah.
That's a good example. That is a good example. Or like, I want to keep up with this. It's like, I'm this, and it's like, I am about sustainability, but then it's like, I see these new shoes.
Yeah.
And so it's like clashing all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I've noticed more like over the last like 2 years. Mm-hmm. It's more present now. Of how I deal with this. Mm-hmm. Like my reflecting. Mm-hmm. Obviously being kind and patient and like having grace with yourself, that it's like we are in it. We're in this capitalistic world. We're in this consumerist world mindset at every angle that we are prone to benefit from it. I'm prone to benefit from all the systems in place that hurt other people, mm-hmm. right? But also like, what do I do with that? What I do with like my privilege in ways that I benefit from this and that, and how am I like a mindful consumer, but also how am I also enjoying myself with like certain things? Like I do like pretty things. I do like this. I do like that. I really enjoy music and I enjoy the art of music and X, Y, and Z. And so how do I come up to like a happy balance with that? And so I kind of went on a tangent with that, but that's a layer to the fact of being disciplined and also realizing like there's a lot of inner work that I'm still trying to do where social media isn't helpful, you know, or like watching a new series. But it's also kind of fun to just watch something in the background at the same time. So kind of the balance with that as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, during this Ramadan, you know, I did my journaling. I felt really present during like times and just really thankful because as mentioned in like my last catch up and on and off the record, my life is progressing in a way that is really new and cool. And I do have a lot of support. I feel a lot of support. I also feel really independent. I feel confident. I feel a lot of maturity in the way that I react to things. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
And the way that things kind of just happen, and I'm like in this confident Delula, very certain type of state where I'm just kind of committed to continuing to live my life in a way where I'm improving. Mm-hmm. So during Ramadan, it's always like a good time because you see, you know, people just commit so much to their faith and to scripture. And right now, you know, in Palestine, people still fasting, not by choice. I mean, almost by choice, you know, you have no food. So it's just like horrible to think about that and their feelings of something that's so special to them just be tainted, you know, with like so much blood and cruelty and not having anything to break your fast with because there's no food. They're not letting any like food go in and like people are being massacred, you know, at every corner where they're kind of like dangle a carrot in front of them, which is like food. And people are eating like, you know, like a horse grain, like to make food. It's horrible to think about what this month has been for the Palestinians, you know. And so even that is kind of like an extra push of, I don't know, kind of staying true to who I am and also like finding ways to be better. Better for them, you know, better for them, for me, for the people around me, for the people that I connect with, for the people that I'm helping in my day to day. Like, how can I be better for you guys?
Yeah.
Type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So at least.
And why did this Ramadan hit you, this like realization?
I honestly think it's the genocide. Mm. It's like just so sad, you know?
Well, the level of, like, understanding, because you said you've known about the genocide for a while. So.
Yeah, okay, yes, true.
So what's the tea?
Well, the thing is that we have not, until to this day, it's been 6 months, six grueling, horrible, inhumane, atrocious months. We have not seen this level of massacre and, like, bloodshed visually, right, and present happening. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's, like, during a holy month where no respect for anyone's privacy, for anyone's faith, for anyone's anything, and you continue to murder people, continue to murder them, like, still at an all-time high. I think for me, I mean, that's why it hits more, because you're right, you know, that this whole struggle has done been happening. And so they've had difficult Ramadans in the past where, you know, people were being shot at, or like there was tanks coming in, because it is, you know, an open prison, from what we've known and talking to Casey, and this military occupation. So of course, like last year when they were fasting and when they were trying to do their prayer, like you'd hear like people like running from a mosque because, you know, like military would come in and start shooting like randomly, or they'd say like, you know, you can't pray here, leave. So obviously they couldn't have a Ramadan how maybe they've pictured it. But nothing like this year. Like, you can't even, you know, practice in peace. You can't even do anything, you know. So a time to them that means so much, to not be able to pray because the mosques are gone. There's no food. The lights are out. So can you even tell from daylight to, like, nighttime? Can you even tell from, like, when is it your time to get up and pray? When can you break your fast, right? Mm-hmm. All these kind of, like, little like timestamps that you follow throughout this month. But even then, you know, like years ago, and it's still like a humanitarian crisis, but in Yemen and Syria, like you'd hear about when they were being bombed with phosphorus as well because of like their dictatorship. Also tons of Muslims there that couldn't like do their Ramadan like fast and do how they would normally do if they could, if it was allowed. Because of the lack of food or the lack of this. But I think because it's been a consistent 6 months of seeing this genocide happen in our faces and our government having its like elbows deep in it, you know, I think it hits more. You know, I think the fact that 35,000 people have died that, you know, are martyrs now, but last year was their last Ramadan. You know, and so, I don't know, I mean, I read this I don't know if it was like a story or like something, but the Al-Shifa hospital that they ended up like completely bombing, which was like the last, I think, operating hospital, basically, they completely like bombed it. And there was like doctors in there, you know, the last standing doctors that were trying to save like all these people without medication, without like anesthesia, without like anything. They bombed that hospital like completely. It's gone. It's shredded. It's rubble. And I had read that doctors had wrote like on the walls, like they're like kind of eulogy, like their goodbyes of like just knowing that we tried so hard to do right. Like during this time, and it happened during Ramadan, like we tried to do this, like each doctor kind of saying their goodbye. I just think that's the saddest thing. Like, you in a humanitarian role and then just writing your goodbye on a wall because, like, you refuse to leave. Because as you took, like, an oath to, like, help people, and you probably could have never imagined that your role as a doctor was to stay in a hospital as it was being bombed. Because, like, all of them basically is, like, who stays with the patients? Who stays with them? Like,
yeah, you're not just gonna leave.
If I leave,
no, like, yeah.
you know, so it's like we're all basically going down.
So
reading like little things like this during this time and thinking about them, you know, like during Ramadan and thinking about them post Ramadan, you know, and just like little things that just really stick to you, like, geez, like, talk about just like really believing. And there was a specific doctor that wrote like something about how like Allah like knew what he was doing and like only Allah can know like what's next and like bye. Like, just bye. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it really does something to me, I think. And so when I try to focus on things that I can do, like, really things that I can do to improve, like, how I'm showing up or how I'm reacting, how I'm not reacting, the way I'm presenting myself, and now includes, you know, kind of the Palestinians in their struggle and makes me think about my ancestors, like our ancestors, right? Like all the indigenous people that continue to fight. And it makes me think about like all the fight that, you know, our indigenous folks put up, you know, during all this time of like sacrifices and being slaughtered. And that runs through us, you know, like that strength. And so it's like, I can be off social media, bitch. Like, come on. Like, I can find ways to stay educated and find ways that in the work that I do, I can be articulate and I can be kind and I can try to understand like these point of views. And if it's my time to speak up, that I will. And if it's my time to advocate, that I will. Because I mean, what else?
Yeah.
Like, what else am I going to do?
Yeah. And you just cut out all the superficial thing about life, right? The flashy needs, the flashy things to keep up, the escapism of learning about some drama between fucking Shorty Bae and fucking whatever, where you're like, who are these people?
Who are they?
So it's just like, who cares when there's like actual real issues going on? Like, you can't just get lost in the sauce, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And being mindful of that too, because obviously, like, it can be destructive to your well-being to just go into a rabbit hole of like all this war. Like, that's also like, you know, not the most healthy thing to do. But yeah, like right now, like everyone's talking about Coachella, and I don't know if it's because we went, dude, but I really don't care.
I think it's just like the social media hype.
Yeah, I just really don't care.
I don't care either. Like, I don't care who performed. Like,
it's not
same
a good
set.
Lineup. Mm-mm. Like,
no.
It's incredibly expensive.
It's not Beychella.
It's not Beychella. Yeah. I don't know. Like, so yeah, like a lot of people are talking about that. I see.
Yeah, it's trending on Twitter.
And I'm just kind of like Jack is like, everyone's just talking about how they're getting ready. I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm just trying to finish this book.
Like, I don't know. I'm just the bitch that makes a bitch.
Have y'all seen that shit?
Listen, Paula Deen.
I'm just the bitch that makes the biscuit.
Goes to some fucking restaurant and pulls this lady out. She's just like, I'm just the bitch that makes the biscuits.
But it's true. I'm just the bitch that makes the biscuits. And I don't know. So it's always cool to see what people are excited about. I mean, I'm not really on anyone's parade, but.
Yeah. And like, if that's what you're into, like, for sure. But yeah, at this age, at this time, after experiencing all these things, this is where you stand with things like that, right? Like, okay, if you went, it'd be a little different. But even like going, it's just like, damn, girl, like, not right now. You know what I mean? Like, really not right now.
I would feel really guilty. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I feel guilty for certain things.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. Like, this genocide is just doing such a number on me. I don't know if it's just because we haven't seen a genocide like this, like, televised. Okay. Of course, like, Black Lives Matter, like,
I mean, yeah, that was
every time I would just be gutted, like, seeing anything like that, and I'd be, like, angry, and I would feel some type of way, and I think I do carry that anger and kind of, like, that sorrow with me, but I don't know, just seeing everything that we have makes me feel, like, guilt, you know, and at the same time, I am full of gratitude of so much, which makes me then feel a life worth living. Mm-hmm. I need to like continue to try harder. I need to continue to do these things because if I still have electricity and I have my really comfy bed, it's for a reason. Mm-hmm. And so I really need to straddle in and I need to get this degree, and I need to get this job, and I need to get this money and this education, because someone is relying on me, and I'm relying on someone, so I need to get with it, basically. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. that's how I have been feeling lately a lot, amongst all other things that I'm doing. So just, I mean, feeling really thankful at the same time and feeling really sad. Because, yeah, I can't believe it's been 6 months. Yeah. I'm just completely distraught, you know. And so, essentially, yeah, to wrap it all up with a bow, this Ramadan was special, and it was incredibly devastating at the same time. Very gut-wrenching to me and painful. But I'm just trying.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because it is so devastating, so painful, and arguably this is like kind of the best time of your life.
I am doing really well. You know? Yeah, I am doing really well, which pushes me literally with the same sentiment that I've said, like, it's for something. If I'm doing well and I feel well, for every 1,000 sorrows, 1,000 joys. And this is for a reason. So the reason is not me. It's much greater than that. It's for the community, it's for my parents, it's for the people, it's for the Palestinians, it's for the indigenous folks, it's for the Aztecs, the Mayans, the Zapatistas, the communists, like, socialists, like, it's for you, it's for your mom, like, it's for the people, it's for the little boy that we just say.
That fucking little boy. I'm gonna, just wait, you guys, you're gonna hear it, you're gonna hear it from me.
Yeah, it's all this effort and everything is, none of it is for me. Mm-hmm. It's benefiting me a lot. But none of it. I'm giving it all away. And that is a true bodhisattva. I feel good. I can only hope the same for anyone that listens to this. And free Palestine.
Free Palestine. Au revoir. Bye.